Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you'll hear the second part of New York City firefighter John Schroeder sharing his experiences on September 11th, 2001, in the North Tower. This will happen through an interview with Manny Badillo, who lost his uncle in the towers, and with one of the producers of the Loose Change movie, who I think is Dylan Avery. That'll be followed by a short speech by firefighter Eric Lawyer, who founded the firefightersfor911truth.org website, and who describes here what normally is supposed to happen at a fire crime scene that astonishingly didn't happen on 9/11. So let's begin. Here's Manny Badillo questioning New York City firefighter John Schroeder.
Were you surprised that within a year after the attacks that pit was already cleaned up and the fact that it was not treated as properly as a crime scene?
Oh, surprise! Come on, you know they wanted to get in and get out of there. Come on, they didn't do no investigating. It was kidding, oh man. They went in there, they wanted to get everything out just as quick as possible, you know that. Hey, come on. That was a given, man. To have us stop digging for our brothers on All Saints Day because they found the gold, it was an absolute crime. Because you know, if Giuliani's son or any family member was in that pit on that day, that he would dig to China to find them. And to stop our digging and send the cops out on us? Come on now. Something's wrong here. That was a disgrace.
That's all Giuliani's orders.
All Giuliani's orders, huh? Yeah. Good old Mr. 9/11 saved the world, huh? Oh, I got mine. Shut down the site? I think you should have been shut down, Giuliani. You and the rest of them. Sorry.
Can I get your reaction to Giuliani admitting he knew the towers were going to collapse before anybody when he reported it to Peter Jennings?
How?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, we were in the building. If he was in the building, he might have known because they were coming down from the interior on us. We had an idea. How was he? He's standing outside with his little mask on looking up. Yeah. What?
He said personally he got a warning that the towers were going to collapse, and that's when he started evacuating away from his command bunker in Building 7.
Yeah.
And just as he came out, before any towers collapsed...
On that command bunker on World Trade 7 was a joke. We used to inspect it. I mean, it was on the 23rd floor. I mean, who builds a bunker on the 23rd floor? Spends multi-million dollars on a bunker? What are you smoking? Come on here. Something's wrong. I mean, come on. I mean, build it away from the site. Hello? The 23rd floor?
You knew about all the federal agencies that were in there, CIA,
oh, absolutely,
FBI, Secret
of course.
Service, IRS, SEC.
That's my district.
You said when you were going through the stairwells, you had opened a door to a closet and you saw a body.
A body in there. We thought we were looking for another stairwell out.
Was it a worker?
We didn't know. It was burnt. It was burnt beyond recognition.
Really? Beyond recognition?
Beyond. Just like a pile of burnt. You know. There was no help in that person. No, we were looking for a stairwell. We happened to step on a body. Down, holy cow! That person was probably looking for another stairwell too before us. You know, thank God for the maintenance guy.
Thank God for Willie. So, in terms of the lobby, obviously, as you said earlier, you thought that day you thought, well, you know, the jet fuel, there's fires in the building.
But for every window in the lobby to be exploded, I mean, them windows were like as thick as forget it. They were 2-3 inch glasses. You know, come on, they exploded out of the lobby. You know. It wasn't from the jet fuel. No way. The elevators exploded. They were down from the lobby. The lobby was over here. That should never have happened. Something would happen there. And we came down. It looked like a bomb went off in the lobby. There was no fire. It just looked like a bomb went off.
I don't remember his name, but he was part of that engine company, the Naudet company. He said essentially the same exact thing you just said on film. He said the lobby looked like a bomb had exploded there. Glass was blown out, there were marble panels that were blown off the wall,
and then the Naudet footage was edited out.
You know, hey, we were some of the last guys out of the building.
Yeah.
I mean, we outran the building. We outran the building. And made it. And, you know, the grace of God, how miracle. I wear it on me every day. The miracle cross. Part of my life. My little lucky charm. Just didn't want me, fellas. Just didn't want me. Not that day. Sorry for everybody else. It's a crime. It's a crime and somebody should pay. And they all know it. And we know it. They know it. And it's just a shame it has to go this far.
Who do you think's responsible for it?
I would think the government almost. That they had to know. Come on, they could have got a plane up in Jersey over there in F-14 in 9 seconds. They sat around. They didn't even put up the warnings for the Pentagon to red alert. They didn't put up the White House red alert. I mean, that's the number one defense in the world, the Pentagon. And you can't get a plane shot down for going at the Pentagon? Come on, what were they doing? Smoking crack in there? Give me a break.
Now, I've talked to a couple of people who worked on the Pentagon that day, and they said that if the plane hadn't hit the building, they never would have known what was even going on in the outside world. The people who were actually working inside the Pentagon that day had no clue what was going on. Nobody had came with a loudspeaker and said there's a possible terrorist attack on America. Nobody called in.
I can't believe it.
Nobody called in when Flight 77 was 50 miles out, and Dick Cheney's telling Norman Mehta,
like we were just saying before with the second plane, how they told people to stay in the building after the first plane hit. What is that? I mean, what are you kidding me?
Get back to work. That's pretty much it.
Back to work, man. That cost a lot of people's lives, boy.
So if you could just describe the noise of what you heard when those buildings came down. There's obviously hundreds of firefighters who corroborate your story to say that there was explosions going off before the collapse. We heard a loud one during the collapse. We heard a number of explosions after both buildings had even fallen. Did it sound to you like a building naturally coming down due to gravity, or did it sound like there might have been something
else? I don't want to say, because whoever heard of a 110-story building? I mean, I couldn't say that. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you, because I mean, first of all, when I just outran the building, it just sounded like a big, like a total huge explosion, and just blew me down the block. That's really pretty much.
The collapse physically picked you up and threw you down the block.
Threw me across the West Side Highway.
That's a lot of energy.
My chauffeur that day, Danny Peritore, was in 10. He was calling the Mayday. He was trapped underneath the rig from all the fallen debris. He was trapped. He's screaming for a Mayday. The first tower came down, blew the rig off him. He got up and ran away.
Really?
Saved his life. He's never the same.
It blew the rig off
him. Off. That's how much pressure came down. Blew a huge fire truck off him that he was trapped under. Saved his life.
How many people have you spoken to about this? Like constituents? I heard that you speak to Chief Bomber all the time. Do you bring up these kinds of things to them?
No. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear this. They got their own little thing going on, you know? You know, they weren't there. They weren't in a building like I was. I mean, you know?
What about people that you've spoken to that were there?
They're in shock still. I mean, they went through something that they, you know, it's hard to put together. But so many things happened. It wasn't just the plane hit and the building collapsed. The time and the things that went on between the plane and by the time the buildings came down, there was a lot of things that happened there. Makes you really wonder what went on here, and it's too many things that went wrong that I mean, I don't, like, you know, I'm not, I guess, an expert on a plane in a building, but just me being in there and experiencing what I seen and dealt with, something wasn't right that day, and I think everybody in that lobby knew it, because you look at their faces and you could see fear, death, destruction happening in seconds all around. That was what was going on.
What about when you were in the pile, trying to recover your fallen brothers? Were there still fires burning in that pile?
Oh, there was fires burning for weeks. Weeks. Pockets of heavy-duty fire. You could not believe the heat. Fires burnt over there for months.
Were you surprised?
Absolutely, because you figured with the way it came down, that the explosion would have blew everything out. And it was just so much fire, and pockets, and I mean, all over the whole site was just like, how did I, you know? It's there were so many questions, just not enough answers, you know. For that to go on, it was just you know, the smell of the bodies and the steel and the dust. Just, you could do it. You're a fireman. Yeah, that was their answer.
There's a multitude of reports, and there's actually some video evidence of molten metal and debris. Like steel, actually, even some people even testified it was molten steel. pools of molten steel underneath 1, 2, and 7 after they collapsed. And these are the very same fires that burned until December 13th, 2001.
Right. Right.
Do you know anything about that? Does that ring a bell?
Not the molten. I mean, I know that there was some serious fire. That the heat was beyond. That's first. The molten steel, it was just, we all figured it was just from a heavy-duty fire. You know, I mean, who knows? Like you said, I mean, you know, everybody's saying the jet fuel. It had to be, you know, almost you think it would have had to be something else involved. To have that many fires and that span of buildings collapsed, I believe something else went on.
That's what I'm asking, your personal opinion, yeah.
Absolutely something else went on.
I mean, just throughout your whole experience living through 9/11, what would you say is the most thing that stands out that doesn't make any sense that you wish you had an answer to?
The whole day of 9/11 down here, or just the whole thing?
Just everything in general that you're going
through. How other planes got to get where they got to after we got attacked. It's a crime, that is. Guys are dying for nothing. For freedom? Of freedom of what?
I want to ask you, John, about Mayor Bloomberg's response. How do you feel he's done since in the past 6 years?
Mayor who?
Mayor Bloomberg.
Mayor who?
Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's did wonders for us, boy. Yeah. Tell you what, he never really did nothing for us that I could honestly. After 9/11, we were without a contract for 4 or 5 years. You imagine this? They wouldn't give us a contract for 4 or 5 years? I mean, after what we've been through, how much more anguish do you got to put on our families and our friends? We couldn't go out and work our other side jobs. I lost my business, all my friends. Never mind going to the funerals and memorials. I mean, you can work as many hours as you want. Oh, then you can't. Then you get in trouble for it. Oh, come on here. What's good for you all of a sudden and it's not good for you? Okay.
What do you think of his response on moving the memorial this year?
Oh, that's an absolute crime here, please. That man, you know, like we said before, with Giuliani and his family, if they were in that site, his family, that thing would be lit up like the Christmas tree in Rockville Center. You know that. They would have, you know, the whole ceremony would be a question asked. And if he tells you different, you know he's lying. No way. You lost somebody down there, your heart's down there. Your soul's down there. Yeah, that's what I left that day down there. It still hurts.
I believe it was Manny that asked you earlier. We were talking about the collapse of the Twin Towers, and he said, well, who do you think would have been ultimately responsible for that? And you said that you would have had to point your finger at the government. Now,
sure.
when you point your finger at the government, what exactly, like, and I have difficulty asking this question myself. If there were individuals, who jumps out to you when you say that the government was responsible? Who are these people that you think? I mean, obviously, there was probably state involvement,
obviously,
city involvement.
It has to be our defense. Our defense, you know, somebody dropped the ball. Come on. It's just alone, the Pentagon getting hit, is something's very wrong there. And then right after, a couple of weeks after, they had that small crop plane fly over the White House. I mean, wait a second here. We just got under attack 2 weeks prior, and now a small crop plane flies right over the White House. Who knows? It could have had 1,000 pounds of explosives in it. He could have crashed in. He could have did some damage. How do you let this all of a sudden get past your you know, without having an F-14 zoom up there and say, get out of the sky? I couldn't believe that. I was like, something's wrong there.
John, I also wanted to ask you, that day after, you know, everything happened, those initial, you know, couple of hours, and the days after, you saw other buildings surrounding the World Trade Center
absolutely.
Site. And some of them were pretty damaged.
The Deutsche Bank? Forget it, man. The Twin Towers went right through it.
Now, were you surprised that building didn't collapse as opposed to Building
7?
Well,
we thought it was. We thought it was, but, I mean, you know, that was always a question in our heads. How come that thing didn't come down? I mean, that thing got hit hard. You know, that building went right through that.
And even the one across on West Street, there was a gash in the corner of the American.
Over at the Financial District. Right. Oh, you know, you wonder how such an impact and how these buildings came down and these other ones didn't. And why there was so much fire on one side, not on the other, you know?
How do you think that those were able to stand with and had no fires in them, as opposed to...
Actually, there was some fires in the Deutsche Bank. The Deutsche Bank had fires, but like you said, we don't know what it was from. Because we were just trying to pull people out of there. We just couldn't figure that one out either. And like you said, for the explosions to go all the way across the Financial District is insane. You know,
that steel to be blown.
Yeah, blown that far. You know, instead of the way it like imploded, for the steel to be blown out of there to go that far across a highway into a building is beyond. It's beyond.
What force could possibly be built?
You know what force? It could have been many of the explosives in the building. Who knows? You know, it just makes you crazy to think that it went that far.
So is it safe to say that you agree with the premise that the Twin Towers, and especially Building 7, were brought down with other means than just a plane hitting?
I believe so, yes. I personally, yes. Yeah, we need some more information here. Somebody's got a big secret in their closet that they're not telling the world. Somebody made a lot of money on 9/11. Wasn't us, that's for sure. Wasn't us.
There was also an article released that said that some of the hijackers were staying with ex-FBI informants as well, and that they were living with them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And eyewitnesses put them on U.S. bases.
Oh. Yeah.
And there was an article...
Sweetheart of a deal.
By MSNBC that said that they were trained at the U.S. Naval Air Station, Pensacola, U.S. Naval Air Station.
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Butler confirmed this. He says that actually it was Saeed Al-Ghamdi and I think three other hijackers were training on a military base. And this guy confirmed it. He went public right after 9/11. He said Bush would have known about this. He had to have. And he got chewed out pretty bad, telling the truth.
Oh, I bet he did. Oh, hey, I want to see what's going to happen with this.
So did you testify to the 9/11 commission?
Yeah, but it was years afterwards.
Oh, I realize that. But did they seem interested in your story at all?
No.
No? They didn't care about
it? It was
just,
you know what it was? It was a circle. They were going through the motions. They just got, you know, they just wanted me, oh, yeah, you were there, okay. You know, you survived? Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Schroeder.
Do you think they did a sniff a job?
No, of course not. They blew the whole thing, man. Come on, to clean up everything. People getting sick, people lying about the air, people lying about this, I mean, the whole thing was a lie. It's a big lie. People lost their lives for a big lie.
So is it safe to say that you're for 9/11 truth?
Yeah, it's something to say like that, because it's been too long. It hasn't been. You know what I mean? People just, you know what, they got some people got their little money and ran. Didn't want to say nothing, you know. Hey, this is not all about money here. This is just about telling people what went through life and death that day and still live in misery of 9/11. Go through every day of misery in pursuit of happiness, hopefully, someday. But it's been a nightmare, living in a nightmare for 6 years.
As I mentioned last week, there's a website called firefightersfor911truth.org, and it was founded by firefighter Eric Lawyer. And you're going to hear him now in a speech given in February of 2010 at a press conference in San Francisco that was sponsored by Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. It was given at the Mariners Press Club in San Francisco, and the purpose of the press conference was to demand a new investigation into the events of 9/11. He starts out by referring to Richard, and he means Richard Gage, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 911truth.org. So here he is, firefighter and founder of firefightersfor911truth.org, Eric Lawyer.
Thank you very much. And like Richard said, my name is Eric Lawyer, and I founded the Firefighters for 911 Truth after I watched Richard in one of his presentations, and I realized that something more had to be done. And I just want to thank Richard for everything he's doing here, and the Firefighters for 911 Truth strongly support Richard Gage and all the architects and engineers that have the courage to sign that petition. And I know from personal experience there's about 5 times as many out there that believe what we believe but don't have the courage to sign it. So what I'm hoping today is that people will find the courage after listening to this presentation and seeing everybody here and seeing that we are behind it. We also demand an investigation that follows the national standards and has contempt and subpoena powers. 9/11 was the greatest loss of life and property damage in U.S. fire history. This should have been the most protected, preserved, over-tested, and thorough investigation of a crime scene in world history. Sadly, it was not. What was it? Well, we know from their own admission, the majority of the evidence was destroyed. Like Richard said, 22 years of experience, I've seen a lot of crime scenes, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I was out at the site, I saw trucks leaving faster than, you know, anywhere I've ever seen, but I accepted it at the time, and for years I accepted it, because it was a recovery and rescue operation, and that's normal to have something like that going. Again, we never seen anything like it, but that was expected. What I didn't know for years, what was going on behind the scenes, was that evidence was being destroyed when it was shipped off. By their own admission, this investigation of Tower 7 had no physical evidence. How do you investigate a crime when you've destroyed all the evidence? It doesn't make sense. They also admit that they refused to test the explosives, or to test for explosives, or residue of thermite. Now, this is what I'm going to go into here just real quickly, is there are national standards for an investigation. That's what all of us are asking for, an investigation that follows national standards and holds people accountable. This manual right here, just so you can see it, is what we call the kind of the Fire Investigation 101. This is the most basic fire investigation manual there. This is for the 2001 edition. This is what should have been referred to, at least. It doesn't have to be followed exactly, but it should have been used as a guideline for the investigation. I'm just going to cover a few of the things that are in here. So NIST violated, and the initial investigators that did not protect the scene violated, the most basic of the guidelines. And I'm going to cover five of them here. One is the NFPA 9.3.6. It covers spoliation of evidence. What it reads is, once evidence has been removed from the scene, it should be maintained and not destroyed or altered until the investigation is complete. The steel was melted down prior to the investigation. We know that from their own admission. This is no conspiracy theory stuff. 19.2.4, exotic accelerants. If on the scene you find melted steel or concrete, you should consider the use of exotic accelerants. And they specifically say in the manual, thermite mixtures produce exceedingly hot fires that can account for melted steel and concrete. It also says they leave residues that can be tested for visually and chemically identifiable. Again, they did not test for it. And just put in perspective, on a routine house fire, if we suspect even the slightest use of an accelerant, we're going to test for it when there's no fatalities, when there's very little property damage. So to not do it on this, there is absolutely no excuse. I can't drive that point home enough. 18.15 is analyze fuel source. All available fuel sources should be considered and eliminated until one fuel can be identified as meeting all the physical damage criteria. For example, if you find pulverized concrete, which we all know there was in all three buildings, there was pulverized concrete, the only fuels that can create seated explosions should be considered. So they shouldn't be considering fires. They shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't account for pulverized concrete. They should only be considering exotic accelerants and explosives. 19.4.8.2.6, extremism. The terrorist may include fire as but one of a variety of weapons, along with explosives, used in furthering his or her goal. We know they used them in 93. Why would we not test for them now? There was reports that day, multiple reports, which I'll get into in a second, so they could have put them in the basement. How do we know that unless we test for it? I mean, even if it is the terrorist that they claim they are, we need to test this. 14.3, preservation of the fire scene and physical evidence. We find the following. The cause of a fire explosion is not known until near the end of the investigation. The entire fire scene should be considered physical evidence and should be protected and preserved. It's just over and over. There's so many. You can go to our website, the Firefighters for 9/11 Truth. We have many more of these actual chapters that cover what they should have done that they did not do. So now, by their own admission, in all three building collapses, NIST refused to physically test, like Dr. Stephen Jones did, for explosives. This is just unbelievable. And here are their excuses, and I quote, "It is unlikely that 100 pounds of thermite or more could have been carried into World Trade Center 7 and placed around columns without being detected, either prior to September 11th or during that day." So again, I've been on a lot of fire scenes, and I've seen a lot of investigations, and why would we not test because something's hard to do? That's the exact reason you need to investigate it. If that was hard to do, we need to find out how they did it. And number two, NIST excuse. In addition, no blast sounds were heard on the audio tracks of the video recordings during the collapse of World Trade Center 7 or reported by witnesses. That's one of the excuses why they didn't test. Well, apparently they didn't read Chapter 18. 18 is the general definition of explosions. Although an explosion is almost always accompanied by the production of a loud noise, the noise itself is not, in big bold letters, an essential element in the definition of an explosion. The generation and violent escape of gases are the primary criteria of an explosion. So that alone says they should have tested for it. But then we also, the NIST has lied, and we can prove it. As soon as the new investigation happens, the evidence is out there for you to see right now. We have 118 first responders who reported explosions. We have the radio transmissions from FDNY members that are still recorded today that reported explosions. We have audio recordings. We have video recordings. I've personally talked to witnesses that heard them. So there's nothing short of saying they lied, and they need to be held accountable. And besides that, the Well, like I said, there is no excuse for not testing for explosives. And so at the very least, at the very best, even if you want to believe the official story, this was the most incompetent investigation of all time. And I've talked to a lot of investigators that were there, and I asked them the specific question, why did they refuse to test? They weren't the ones who refused, but NIST did. And they said, all we can say, you know, all they can answer is incompetence, or they tell me to shut up. They cannot give me any reason that follows national standards. So, but the reality, after, you know, all the research everybody here and the incredible people were in the room with today have done, the reality is it was a criminal investigation to cover up the crime. So, I'd like to read a quote. This is from a retired, decorated FDNY lieutenant. Anyone who knows the fire service, he is a stud. He worked on Ladder Company 26, Rescue Company 3, Rescue Company 1 in his career. Anyone who knows, those are amazing companies. Here's his comment. Trade Tower 7 by itself is the smoking gun. Not hit by an aircraft with only a few relatively small fires, it came down in a classic crimp and implosion, going straight into its basement, something only very precise demolitions can accomplish, which takes days, if not weeks, to prepare. The 9/11 Commission didn't even mention it, and FEMA actually stated they didn't know why it collapsed and left it at that. Brothers, I know that the above implications are hard, almost unthinkable, but the official explanation is utter nonsense, and 343 of our murdered brothers are crying out for justice.
And again, that was firefighter Eric Lawyer, founder of FirefightersForNineElevenTruth.org, in a February 2010 speech at a press conference in San Francisco at the Mariners Press Club. And now I'd like to read to you something from the firefighters' website. It's called An Appeal to Firefighters, Present and Past, from a retired Fire Department of New York lieutenant. And here goes. Fellow firefighters, a great tragedy befell our community on September 11, 2001, an unprecedented 243 deaths in the line of duty. As horrible as that toll is, if there were a rational explanation for it, we could accept it and mourn. We all understood the risk we accepted when we took the oath of office. That choice might cut short our lives when we placed ourselves in harm's way in the public service. This is what we are paid for, and it is our honor. However, in short, the official explanation of the events of that day are not only insufficient, they are fantastic and cannot bear rational examination. We are asked to believe that on that day, three structural steel buildings, which have never before in history collapsed because of fire, fell neatly into their basements at the speed of gravity, their concrete reduced to dust. We are asked to believe that jet fuel, kerosene, can melt steel. We are asked to believe that the most sophisticated air defense system in the world that responded to 68 emergencies in the year prior to 9/11, in less than 20 minutes, allowed aircraft to wander about for up to an hour and a half. We are asked to believe that the steel and titanium components of an aircraft that supposedly hit the Pentagon evaporated. There is much, much more if anyone cares to look into it. Trade Tower No. 7 by itself is a, quote, smoking gun. Not hit by an aircraft with only a few relatively small fires, it came down in a classic crimp and implosion, going straight into its basement, something only very precise demolition can accomplish, which takes days, if not weeks, to prepare. The 9/11 Commission didn't even mention it, and FEMA actually stated they didn't know why it collapsed and left it at that. Brothers, I know that the implications of the above are hard, almost unthinkable, but the official explanation is utter nonsense, and 343 murdered brothers are crying out for justice. Demand a genuine investigation into the events of September 11. And that was written and is posted on the Firefighters for 9/11 Truth website, and it was done by Anton Vodvarka, lieutenant of the Fire Department of New York, now retired. And Lieutenant Vodvarka served in the Ladder Company No. 26, Rescue Company 3, Rescue Company 1, Engine Company 92, Ladder 82, Ladder 101. And he was awarded the Merit Class 1 Award, the Prentice Medal. So if you're a firefighter listening to this, please check out the website firefightersfor911truth.org and sign the petition demanding a new investigation into the events of September 11, 2001. People are still being killed, justified by our response to 9/11, and we still don't know what really happened that day or who did it. But we do know that we've been lied to and that there's a cover-up going on. The cover-up began in the Bush administration and continues under the Obama administration. Who has that kind of power? And on a final note, if you have an organization or a group and would like to have someone speak to that group about the scientific facts that make the official story of 9/11 impossible, please contact me at Cheryl@ct911truth.org, and we can arrange for a speaker to present to your group. And that's Cheryl with a CH. And again, that's Cheryl@ct911truth.org. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.